Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Our culture tries to convince women that putting homemaker on a resume doesn't cut it. But no job is as tough as being a mother, especially when that mother is a single mom. Today, what the church should do to help these women. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to conclude A Mother's High Calling.
What I'd like to be able to say is that those who are struggling, especially the single moms, may we as a church come together and stand with them and help them in the parenting process by the giving of ourselves, by representing family to them and being there for them. I can't think of any job that would be more lonely than to be an adult with children and you come home and there's nobody, no adult to talk to. God bless you, single moms. But nonetheless, I am going to read a passage from what Selma Freiberg wrote. I worry about babies and small children who are delivered like packages to neighbors, to strangers, to storage homes. In the years when a baby and his parents make their first enduring human partnerships, when love, trust, joy, and self-evaluation emerge through the nurturing love of human parents, millions of small children in our land may be learning values for survival in our baby banks. They may learn the rude justice of the communal playpen. They may learn that the world outside the home is an indifferent world or even hostile. They may learn that adults are interchangeable, that love is capricious, human attachment is perilous, and that love should be hoarded for the self in the service of survival. Again, I must say it, and you can receive it, and let me emphasize again that God's grace covers all kinds of mistakes, all kinds of them. But all the indications are, the studies, that that bonding of a baby and its mother, if that is not a close, loving, secure bonding, the child will feel the effects when they go into their marriage, their inability to be able to bond permanently, and on it goes. Mothering is not just important. It is supremely important. And you and your family have to figure out exactly what that means for you, because it may look different in every home. But remember, God says, "This is my child. Rear him or her for me." Nothing more important than that. Secondly, the rewards of motherhood. Oh, you've been waiting for that. You've been waiting patiently. You're saying, where's the reward? The rewards of parenthood are often delayed. When Mary is there at the crucifixion of Jesus, that's the best Jesus can do to take care of his mom, but it must have warmed her heart. "Woman, behold your son," points at John. "John, that's your mother." And the Bible says from that moment, Mary went into John's home. John said, "Okay, I received a commission from Jesus to take care of you." And I'm sure that he took care of Mary for the rest of her life. So even there was a reward. And maybe this is a good opportunity for me to give you an assignment. This week, affirm to your mother how much she means to you. Rebuild that relationship. I can't do that anymore. I used to always call my mother on Mother's Day, and these days, heaven is not taking my calls. So if your mother is still alive, or find some other mother that needs affirmation and honor her. There are rewards to motherhood. And then, you know, the story there of how Jesus Christ's brothers did not believe on him, and they're saying, "Oh, you know, he's out of his mind. Let's go seize him." How did that all end? Oh, my friend, that ended beautifully. Acts chapter 1, we won't take time to read it, but it is there. In the upper room where they're waiting for the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the church, the Bible says there was Mary and his brothers were there in the upper room. And, you know, when it uses that phrase, it very frequently means sisters too. Brothers are used in a larger context and I could show that to you from Scripture. So in the end, his brothers believe. And you know what? The oldest of their natural children happens to be James. And James begins to lead the church in Jerusalem. He writes a book in the New Testament by the name of James. And that's where the book of James came from, the half-brother of Jesus. Now, you know, I read this yesterday and smiled. If I had been writing that book, what would I have written? I'd have written James, a half-brother of Jesus. And then I would have put in brackets, I actually shared a bunk with him when we were growing up. I mean, James was the oldest of their siblings, apart from Jesus, who, of course, was the oldest, but born of a different father. But no, he doesn't. He just says, James, a servant of God. Why? Because the physical relationship was not the important thing. And you and I today, we can be called servants of God, we can be called daughters of God, and we can have an intimacy with Jesus, the same kind that James had, even though he was the half-brother of Jesus. There's something interesting in the Bible I'll just throw in as a parenthesis. In 1 Corinthians 15, that great chapter on the resurrection of Jesus and how he manifested himself, it says, he appeared to Peter, and he appeared also, later on, it says, to James. We're not told which James that is. It could be the James of the disciple, Peter, James, and John. But I tend to think that that might be his own brother. And his own brother saying, wow, to think I grew up with him, and he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, I believe on him, I'm now a leader within the church, and I even get to write a book that's going to become a part of the New Testament. It ended well. Parents, oh, my heart goes out to you. I see the struggles even of our own children as they rear our grandchildren. The hassles, the things go wrong, and you don't know whether to discipline, whether or not to discipline. You do your best, but sometimes your best seems to be so woefully inadequate. You're tired, you're weary, and you know that tomorrow is going to be a day just like this one. It's very tough. But you look at it long term and you say, wow, God used me? Imperfection, you know, secret. God uses only imperfect parents. And the reason he does is that's all he's got. That's all he's got. That's all he's working with. And there have been those who haven't been properly parented, and they turn out to be servants of God and daughters of God. And remember what I told you in the last message, wherever you see sin, you also see grace. You also see the redemptive aspect of God. If we get our priorities right and our hearts right, and we do our best in God's good power as we yield to him, we might be surprised someday that the rewards of parenthood, those rewards, exist in the future, even when you can't see them now. And what's the bottom line? Mary raised a Savior. We get the opportunity of raising children who love that Savior, who serve that Savior, whose hearts have been given to that Savior, and will spend eternity worshiping and praising God along with us, praising that Savior forever. And that's who it is that God gives you to parent, a child that lives forever, giving praise and honor to God. That's our calling. What a privilege. What a privilege to raise a child for Jesus. There is a story about a woman who is walking along, and because I wasn't able to verify the story, I won't give you the name that I was given, but I verify this part of it, that she was in a blizzard and she had a baby. The blizzard came, and when she was discovered, she was dead, because she had taken off all of her outer clothing and had wrapped her baby in that clothing, and the baby lived. You know, that's a picture of motherhood, but it's also a picture of what Jesus did for us. He came and he saw us abandoned. He came and saw us in our need. He saw us under judgment, and he came and he wrapped his love and his righteousness around us and saved us. And then he was raised from the dead, and he went to heaven, and he's going to return for us, because he is a very wonderful Savior who saves us from our sins. Mary raised him. but we get the privilege of raising those who will also worship and love him. Have you believed on that Savior, by the way? You can have the assurance that you belong to God forever. That assurance can be yours if you respond to what Jesus did on the cross and if you give your life to him. I mentioned earlier that I was giving you an assignment. Part of it is to say thank you to some mom and encourage that mom, but there's something else. I want you this week to lay hold of Isaiah 64, verse 4. It's only a snatch of verse that you can hold on to. It says this: God acts on behalf of all those who wait for him. If we pray earnestly and we wait on God, God acts on our behalf. He can change our family. He can change our hearts. He can transform us because God acts. That's why prayer is so important, on behalf of those who wait for him. And we can raise that child for the glory and the honor of God. Let's pray. Father, despite the imperfection of our parents, the inconsistent discipline, the struggles, sometimes the rejection, we thank you today that we are here today to testify to your goodness in, through, and in spite of human failure. Thank you that you use imperfect people. Encourage each, we pray. And for those who have never received Christ as Savior, we pray that you might enable them to do that. And may we look into the eyes of a child and say, we're rearing that child created in your image for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is Pastor Lutzer. Friends, I hope that this message was a great encouragement to you, not just to mothers, but also to fathers. The fact that God is able to help us in our parenting, and indeed, as I mentioned the verse of Scripture, God does act on behalf of those who wait on him. And by the way, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as a result of this message or other messages on Running to Win, we'd love to be able to hear from you. We're always encouraged when we know that as the gospel goes out, people are listening and people are being saved. Thanks also for your financial support and for your prayers, because together we are making a difference. This series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family is available in video format along with a discussion guide. We want you to be able to use it in small groups to discuss issues that are dividing the family and finally encouraging couples to deal with issues that perhaps they have simply ignored. Thanks so much, and now you stay tuned because in a moment you're going to be receiving some very important information.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We've heard A Mother's High Calling, the second of 10 messages on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, God's view of the role of a father. Don't miss Dad's in Charge. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.